I have a difficult topic today to talk about summer dormancy in Coolsian perennial grasses. What the summer dormancy is, each grass can get dormant in summer, Coolsian grass, but some of them, those that originate from the Mediterranean basin of Southern Europe and Northern Africa, possess a trait that is called by some people endogenous summer dormancy. It means they will get dormant in summer regardless of the soil moisture. I wrote in the first point that summer dormancy has a continuum of expression. Many of us working on summer dormancy now believe that even the summer active grasses that we know that are traditional here in this part of the world can also be classified there. They just have no dormancy, summer dormancy, while on the other side, on the other end of the scale would be grasses that have complete summer dormancy, and those come from the Mediterranean basin. As I mentioned, growth of these summer dormant grasses is arrested during summer months, regardless of water availability. They also have winter active growth, which is in contrast to our traditional cool season grasses, with peak of forage production in late winter. Some of them develop surviving structures like rhizomes, corms, or something many people call bulbs. They are not really bulbs, but look like bulbs. So many of them do have such structures. Just for orientation, in the red rectangle, this is the Mediterranean basin of Southern Europe and Northern Africa. This is the origin, the area from which the summer dormant grasses originate. In the pink, and also in California, there is one grass that was described there, one of the poa grasses that is expressed the summer dormancy trait. In the pink rectangles, there are areas with intensive research right now in worldwide, in New Zealand, Australia, Middle East, Italy, France, Spain, and Texas and Oklahoma, and also in Argentina. Why suddenly summer dormant grasses became so important worldwide? First and the most important is that the changing climate across the world affects persistence of traditional summer active cool season forage grasses. We see this already in the southern Great Plains, all the cool season perennial grasses that have been traditionally recommended over there about 30 years ago, they absolutely not persist anymore. And growth pattern of the summer dormant grasses is well suited for environments with mild winters and hot, long, and dry summers, like in example, the south central part of the USA. Just to visualize to you what I'm talking about. This is for Vernon, Texas, which is an example of the southern Great Plains. As you can see, in the 30s to about 70s, the temperature was above normal, the precipitation was below normal, and what happened? We had the dust bowl at this time. Then in the from 70s to about 90s, the climate cooled down, and this is the time when traditional cool season grasses like wheat grasses and all other stuff were introduced there, and they were performing quite well at that time. But what happened from the early 90s, the temperature started to rise again, and we have less and less rain, especially in summer. And altogether combined, make the persistence of these traditional cool season grasses very, very questionable. Historical perspective work. In 1953, there was the first systematic work by Dr. Loud from the University of California and Davis, who described for the first time this trait of summer dormancy. In 1993, summer dormant grasses were included in the Australian Grass Improvement Program. Australia went through the drought much earlier than we are going through, so they had to think about this at least 10 years earlier than we did. In 2000, the European Union project was launched on sustainable grasslands withstanding environmental stresses with the leading group in France and Italy. And in 2005, a joint project by the Samuel Roberts Nobel Foundation, Grasslands Technology from New Zealand and Hentos from Argentina, joined to develop summer dormant tall fescue cultivars. In the United States, the research on summer dormant cool season grasses was initiated in Vernon and in Mississippi in cooperation with AgResearch. which is a branch from the AgResearch Grasslands from New Zealand. In 2001, similar research was initiated at the Nobel Foundation in Oklahoma. In 2002, we at Vernon launched a research program on summer dormancy in cool season perennial grasses, not only in tall fescue. In 2003, based on our data mostly, the first summer dormant cultivar of tall fescue, Fletcher Max Q, was introduced to the US market. In 2004, I initiated a cooperation with Israeli scientists on to investigate mechanisms of summer dormancy in cool season perennial grasses. In 2005, as I mentioned before, the Nobel Foundation got involved in the international program of breeding summer dormant tall fescue. In 2005, we also started a similar program at the TAIS in Vernon. And just recently, there is another variety right now, tall fescue Prosper, that has been officially released in the United States. I mentioned the surviving structures in cool season perennial grasses. An example to the left is perennial barley. You see the kind of like a garlic gloves structures that survive summer and then produce new tillers in fall. Another example in the middle is harding grass. Also, this swollen bases of tillers survive and then produce new tillers in fall. Orchard grass to the right also has these bulbous structures. And this is something new in my possession. It's a tall fescue, summer dormant tall fescue that also produces bulbs. To the left, the two pictures, and then comparison to the right, a commercial cultivar that does not. There are several methods how to measure summer dormancy. The one we applied in Vernon, because it's easy and sure to test in areas like Vernon, when summer active types of tall fescue or orchard grass will not survive the first summer, will die, like on the left side. On the other hand, the summer active types will survive summer and will grow back in fall without any problems. So this is one way to compare, I mean to test populations for summer dormancy or the lack of summer dormancy. Another approach, especially favorized by the group in Australia and France, is to investigate growth potential in summer under irrigation, which is much more difficult and labor intensive. But just an example, what we did in Vernon this year, the yellow line is the relative yield. It means relative to the highest yield in April, in this case, of Kentucky 31 tall fescue, which is summer active. And on the other hand, the Fletcher and the the bulbous line that are summer dormant, as you can see, during the summer, even with irrigation, they will always produce less forage than in spring. So basically, they stop growing. What I don't like about this method is, you can see with the yellow line, the sudden drop in end of July. When you irrigate this grass, especially in climate to which the grass is not adapted, you're facing all possible complications. In this case, it was rust that attacked this Kentucky 31 and basically killed it, while the other grasses were not even affected. So there is not really an environment when you can compare summer active and summer dormant grass, tall fescue or any other grass together, because it will either this environment will favor summer dormant types or summer active types, but there is no climate that in which both of them will grow without any disturbance. Another approach is to measure leaf senescence during summer. Some people just do this visually. There is another approach we did, measuring the chlorophyll content. As you can see, under irrigation or non-irrigation, this was where plants that were growing in the greenhouse under controlled soil moisture conditions. The blue lines are the summer active means for tall fescue and orchard grass. The red lines are means for the summer dormant types of tall fescue and orchard grass. You can see that the summer dormant will always have lower chlorophyll content in summer, even under irrigation. On the right side, those plants were exposed to two cycles of drought stress. So it dropped, then it was rewatered. You can see the blue lines increased again, and the chlorophyll, I mean, they produce new leaves, so the chlorophyll increased. The red lines, the summer dormant types, they did not. Another trait we found pretty interesting is that it's very clearly that the summer dormant types of tall fescue and orchard grass produce antioxidants in tiller bases. Doesn't matter if they are irrigated or not, but if they are not irrigated, if they are exposed to additional soil moisture stress, the level of phenolic compounds in this case, or antioxidants in general, increase dramatically. So this is one, we believe, of the mechanisms operating in the meristem beside of the bulb formation or other surviving structures that may protect the meristem during summer from desiccation and death. In, as I mentioned, in cooperation with our Israeli partners, we're also trying to look at the effect of day length and temperature in triggering and maintaining summer dormancy in cool season grasses. Our results are not really very conclusive. What we found for sure that there is a different response of summer dormant and summer active tall fescue in this case to a photoperiod and temperature, as you can see. On the left side, during the long photoperiod of 16 hours, which would simulate summer conditions, plants are going to be vernalized and bloom in low temperatures, but the response is very different to summer dormant and summer active grasses. At short photoperiod, the middle figure, again, especially at low temperatures, is different than the none of them will bloom, so none of them got vernalized. And when we move the plants from short to long days, also the response is different between summer dormant and summer active types, especially in higher temperatures. So there is something there. I'll come back a little bit later. What we did also in Vernon, we looked a little bit at different set of conditions, but still on the left side, all the we have two cultivars and one breeding line of tall fescue, and the plants with the J were not vernalized. The plants with the M were vernalized. As and you can see in summer, those non-vernalized fescues never bloomed. On the other hand, on the right side, there's summer dormant orchard grasses. In the case of orchard grass, it doesn't matter if it's vernalized or not, they will bloom. And why is this important, what we found? Now, when we try to induce the summer dormancy in summer to these grasses and then break the dormancy in the midsummer by irrigating them, as you can see, all of the non-vernalized plants with the J start to grow. So they never actually have induced the summer dormancy. So we know now for sure that summer dormancy is coupled with the reproductive stage of the plant. Once the reproductive stage is not reached, the plant cannot initiate the summer dormancy, even if it's called summer dormant. Why it's important? It is important because, like in Australia already, they had to shift planting of this type of grasses from fall to very late winter or early spring because they lost autumn rains, the same way like we are losing in Texas. So they already lost. There is no autumn rains in Australia anymore. So they tried to plant this type of grasses in spring, and they faced new problem because those plants are not summer dormant anymore because they are not vernalized, especially tall fescue. Another trait that we looked at to confirm that the non-vernalized plants are not summer dormant, we look at the root activity water uptake, which can be measured as the uptake of rubidium. And we also found that the vernalized plants are more active, the roots, in uptaking water during summer than the summer than the vernalized plants. And we have also long-term data now, 7 years of yield potential of Fletcher Max Q and the minus version of this tall fescue in Vernon, except for the 2003 that we didn't have any rain from winter to summer, and there was no forage production. On the other hand, the production is pretty stable, so 7-year data confirms that those types of grasses are very persistent in our climate. So in summary, passing reproductive stage is required for induction of summer dormancy. The role of photoperiod in temperature and summer dormancy in mature plants is not clear to us very much, but we are still working on that. And possible mechanisms involved in summer dormancy would include cessation of growth independently from soil moisture, reduction in water uptake, and meristem protection from oxidative stress. Challenges I see: first and most important, education of forage professionals and farmers about these new grasses, unification of terminology describing summer dormancy between the three groups working on that in the world, and identification of traits that could be useful in selection and breeding. I'm very glad to say that we found one of these traits, and those who are interested, please keep checking Australian Journal of Agriculture Research next year when we're going to publish that, and also coordination of efforts to speed the research progress, especially in the United States. And acknowledgements, these are the four most important groups. We get money for this research from the Texas-Israel Exchange Fund, Ag Research, Barron Brook, and the Texas taxpayers. Thank you. One more thing. I would like to welcome Dr. Josef Nussberger from Switzerland, from the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology. Dr. Nussberger is the man who is very much responsible for who I am right now. Thank you.